Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, hello again on the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First, and hopefully you've listened to a few podcasts by now and you've kind of got the hint that we are all about Jesus. We are about making and multiplying disciples like Jesus. And we just really want to help church leaders and pastors figure out how to do that and just be an encouragement to you. And today I am super pumped because this is Holy Week, and we are in the podcast studio celebrating the risen King, but we're also doing it with some great people. We've got in the podcast studio today, we've got good old faithful Pastor Craig.
Hey, the old goat.
He's always around.
He is always around. I was not going to say that. But.
Yeah, that's right. But you were thinking it, right? Still here. Still here. Lingering.
Still here. When is he going to leave? We don't know. I don't know. We'll keep you around, Craig. We kind of like you.
Thank you, Ben.
So appreciate that. Appreciate you. And so busy week for you. So thanks for taking the time to be on to encourage everybody. But
you bet.
And also at the other end of the table, I got another great friend, Pastor Glenn Underhill.
Whoop, whoop. Underhill.
In the house.
Always in. Yep, always in the house. It's always good to be in the house.
I'm just kind of one of those middle reliever kind of guys. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, Colin, no, bro.
Way down in the deep of the bullpen. So
got to dig deep.
Got some serious injuries, so I'm getting called up.
Hey, but you got a fresh, cold Topo Chico.
I do. Thanks to you.
Yeah, there are
brought that in. Right? My gift
yes,
to you.
That's
today.
Right.
It is in the house. Topo is in the house too. So we'll welcome Mr. Topo Chico as well to the podcast.
That's right.
Again, kind of an inside joke, but hopefully it's funny to you. I don't know. Yeah, I bet Glenn's kind of. So Glenn and I have actually been together a lot this week. We've traveled to El Paso. We've kind of been all over the place. Had lots of other planning meetings and things. So I think he's probably at the limit of his Ben limit today.
No, not at all.
So, but thank you again for taking time to be on the podcast today. And so again, being Holy Week, I think, you know, this podcast kind of resonates probably. This is something I can't relate to. And honestly, I'm thankful that I don't have to relate to this part of ministry. And that is the fact that Sunday comes around every week.
Yes. The relentless return of the Sabbath.
And which is a great opportunity. It's a great, I know you see that as a great blessing and a privilege to be able to preach the gospel, and we should, and lift up God's word high. But again, it takes a special gifting, and it is a spirit-filled work, but it takes a lot of work to every week be able to prepare to handle God's word appropriately, to plan, to seek God in that, not just give a great speech, but also seek God in that and deliver something that really God can use in the hearts of his people.
Yeah, you know, Ben, those two words, I think, are appropriate, privilege and work.
Mm-hmm.
And they are preaching every week, and many of you pastors that are listening, you understand that. It is both. It's a high privilege. You know, the longer I sit in this chair, I realize I only have a certain number of Sundays. You know, I don't know how long that will be. You know, the Lord could take me home next week. I don't know. But there's a limited number of times that you get the privilege of opening up God's word and teaching it. And so I count it a great privilege to do that, but it does require a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some great scriptures. I just wanted to bring two of them to mind that kind of jump out to me when we talk about preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." You know, the whole idea of preaching seems so antiquated, right? It seems so foolish is the term Paul uses there. And yet it's through that simple means of someone declaring the word of God that people come to faith in Christ. And especially when we think about Easter, you know, there are going to be men that stand before people and open up God's word and teach God's word. And it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, but who rightly handles the word of God." So there's that work element. You know, you're working at it. And I guess all of us could get better, you know, at preaching. We're not really talking here today about how to preach a message necessarily, but how we plan our annual preaching menu. And that's kind of what we're going to be tackling today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, wherever you are, however you're doing this, hopefully you can learn and scale to, you know, your, you know, maybe it's just you, maybe it's you and you don't really have a team. But I would say maybe that you can learn something from the way that Craig keeps this out in front of him so that he is preparing. So it's not last minute. And so we're going to provide some kind of listening notes that you can download on our, if you go to like the episode information in the episode page, you can download a listening guide that'll kind of give you this framework we're going to be talking around. So just be on the lookout for that. Go to that show notes, download that, and hopefully it's helpful wherever you are, whatever size church, whatever size team you lead. And so let's just get after it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say, Ben, you mentioned this briefly, just kind of in the beginning thought that a lot of times we feel like preaching is all up to me alone. You know, I remember my early days, you're kind of like Moses. You go up to the mountain, you hear a word from God, you come down, you deliver it. That's kind of the Old Testament model, right?
Yeah.
That you have a prophet that hears a word from God and delivers it. But I think it, as I've grown in this area, I realize that there's great value in inviting other people into that process. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, just collaboration, if nothing else, developing a team of people around you. And it can be just a member of your church. I mean, I got people on my team that they're not preachers, yeah. But they are, one's a great, you know, Bible scholar, you know, one of them is a great writer. One of them is, you know, just has insight into how people think, you know, and I pull these people around me and they really help me a lot. So don't underestimate, it doesn't matter how big your church is. There are people around you that you can draw from and you can collaborate with that can actually help you get better and better at preaching. But today we're really talking about how you plan preaching. And I want to pitch this question to Glenn here. Because Glenn has logged in his share of hours in preaching over the years. And there is somewhat of a debate between should you preach in series or should you preach book by book? Glenn, which is it? is it series or book by book?
Well, I think that, you know, honestly, that's a great question. But I would say it's kind of a false dichotomy, honestly. And I think the reason is, I think it's a both and, right? I think there are seasons where you would definitely want to teach through a book, right? And we do that,
yeah, sure,
on a regular basis. There's not a year that does not go by that there aren't times when we're doing a series through a book in the Bible,
right?
But then there are times and seasons when we need to address certain topical issues that are present in our culture, and how do we give a biblical response, a biblical instruction mm-hmm. towards things that are happening in our society, so that people really can, feel as though we're helping them to really live life through a biblical worldview,
right.
So to speak. And I think even teaching God's, I mean, obviously teaching a book, verse by verse often offers that opportunity of a good centered biblical worldview. But I do think there are times and seasons, and I think we do a really good job of kind of sprinkling that through at really appropriate times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're exactly right, Glenn. I think that, you know, the people that I talk to, that they're just, it has to be one book after the other, and that's all you do. I remind them that the epistles were all topical, right?
Right.
I mean, when Paul is writing, he's going from topic to topic to topic. Right. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he hit all different kinds of topics.
Right.
And so you can't just say, well, we're anti-topical because Jesus preached that way and Paul's letters were that way. But there is certainly importance, not just value, real importance in teaching through a whole book, because we are living in a very in a society that is biblically illiterate. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what the book of Ephesians is. We just finished preaching through the book of Ephesians. They don't know. They don't know the background of that. They don't understand that. And so they get verses in isolation, which people can easily turn and twist, right? And use as a proof text. And so they have to learn how to look ahead and look behind and understand context so that they're not easily led astray, right?
Yeah. And I think that's been, you know, I think that's always been the push on why you don't do topical series, because mm-hmm. you can get into this proof texting and things like that. Easy. But I think if there's good balance, I think it helps your people to see, and again, you have to correctly handle the word of God and not build theology on one verse, which can happen, unfortunately. But again, I think if you do that well and you do it with great balance, I go back to Jesus. Jesus did everything in balance, and I think, you know, I think that that's an important piece in the teaching and preaching category.
Yeah, and you know, whether you're preaching a topical message, like on family or something like that, or whether you're preaching, you know, verse by verse, you should always preach a text.
Absolutely.
You know, the message should come from the text. And so when you exposit, you're taking it from the text, right? Mm-hmm. And so you land on a text, you teach a text, you explain that text in context. And so all that, you can do that no matter what if you're verse by verse, book by book, whatever, you should be landing on a passage. So I don't really advocate just random verses thrown together. That's a little bit sermon stew. You know, I grab a little of this, grab a little of that. I don't think that that's healthy. I don't think it helps our people.
Right.
But no matter what, whether it's a series or book, you should be preaching a passage and explaining what that is.
That's what's helpful, like from a perspective of being in a congregation, listening to a preacher, because that's my perspective. You know, we all have our preferences. Every church member, I prefer this. I prefer, you know, I really need to be more entertained. Well, I really need to go deep, and I need to. Mm-hmm. But I really do appreciate when things are balanced. But I think the key of it is not whether you're exactly right, whether you are verse by verse, whether you're topical. It is, are you teaching a passage? And I think that is where we really need to land. Unfortunately, these days, that is becoming more and more uncommon.
Yes.
Just a great speech, just a good TED Talk, and they'll sprinkle something in. But I think, you know, just an encouragement to the pastors out here, you know, maybe you don't think you're the most eloquent speaker, maybe you don't, but if you preach the Word of God, it is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to land. That's where pastors need to land, is, are you truly expositing the Word of God?
Yes. Absolutely.
Instead of getting tripped up in all these other delivery systems and things that, and again, every church is different. You know, you're in charge of leading that church. So all that to be said, Craig, now help us understand, because again, you're leading a fairly large church, a larger than average of most churches around the country. So you have a lot on your plate. You have a large team, you have these things. But again, for every pastor, it comes around every week, every, you know, at any scale. It is, pastors have busy schedules. So how do you stay out front? Help us, give us a framework that can apply to any size church, any pastor out there, and that they can really start to understand, how can I really plan well? How can I be prepared? How can I think in maybe a more forward direction than always kind of behind the eight ball? I got to scramble to get my sermon together.
What am I going to preach on this Sunday?
Yeah.
We don't like Saturday night specials.
That's a good Saturday night special.
I've done those. I don't like them. You know, I haven't done them in a long time. Let me just say, let me give you a little outline for what we're going to cover today. First is, we're going to talk about how to develop a preaching menu for the year.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about, what do we do to create a preaching menu for the year that kind of gives you a general roadmap of where you're going to go for the whole year, and allows you kind of back up and say, am I teaching the whole counsel of God? Are we being balanced? Are we hitting Old Testament, New Testament? Are we dealing with the right topics and so on? And then I'm going to talk about, what do you do in preparation to teach a series? And I'm going to cover that. And then I'm going to talk about, what do you do to preach a message? All right. So I'm zeroing it in from the year to the series to the message. And then lastly, how do you deal with evaluation at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the four things we're going to cover today.
Awesome.
So let's talk about creating a preaching menu. Glenn is a part of this process here at our church. And what we do is, once a year around October, we have a multi-hour meeting where we talk about what should we be preaching on in the next year. Usually I will involve some of our other teachers, our other preachers that are going to be, that cycle through on the platform. Our worship pastor is involved in that.
Our small group pastor.
Small group pastor. Yeah, we have some different people that are engaged. And then what we do is, we go through 10 questions. And we just, it's kind of a free-flowing kind of thing, isn't it, Glenn?
It is.
It's kind of messy, but it gets the work started. And we start asking ourselves questions, and we write it on the answer to these questions on the board. Mm-hmm. And so I think these questions are pretty straightforward, but we just can talk about a couple of these. First question is, what issues are happening in our culture that we need to address? You know, are there things happening around us right now? I remember when COVID happened.
Right.
You know, we had our preaching menu already done in October, and then March happened, and we just basically wadded it up and tossed it and started. We got to start over.
Yeah.
And we did a series called Cancel Culture in the middle of that, which was about the gospel. You know, that he's canceled the record of the charges against us and taken away by nailing it to the cross. That's Colossians 2:14. And that's the cancel culture, that Jesus canceled our sin. But it allowed us to address something that was going on right now in the culture. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a good question to ask. You know, what's going on that we need to speak to? It doesn't mean that you have to speak to every political issue or whatnot. But if there's something there that we need to address, then we should. Question number two, what's happening in our church that needs to be addressed?
Yep.
And that's a big one. And you think about every time Paul wrote an epistle, most of them, apart from Romans and Ephesians, he was addressing issues in the church. Yep. And so we need to be aware, is there something going on that we need to speak to?
Yeah,
and Glenn, you hit on that a lot of time.
Yeah, I think that's what's healthy about, again, in any size church you're in. I mean, if you have good key volunteers or lay people who you can include in on these, they can give you a good healthy dose of what needs to be addressed specifically within the context of that local community.
Yeah.
And there are things that get surfaced in that meeting that I'm like, oh, I wasn't even aware of that myself. And, right. And yeah, I think we should address that. You know, we had a season when we had some marriages that were, and I don't just mean a few. I mean, there were some really rough things going on in families, and we hit a family series that we felt like we needed to address and how to address certain things within a family. We've done some things on conflict and other things along that line that when we were having issues with conflict in our body and things. So again, you know, I think that there are important things that we come across. And that's, again, another good reason why to have people there who can speak into that and give good wisdom and insight.
Yeah, absolutely. Third question is, what issues are happening in families that we need to address? And that kind of goes back to kind of what you were saying, you know, just a lot of families are wrestling with issues. We should be speaking into that from a scriptural standpoint.
Right.
What are challenges or problems families are facing in our target audience? In other words, you know, uniquely our people, what are they wrestling with? What issues are constantly bombarding them that we need to speak to? What theological issues do we need to explain? You know, maybe it was a couple of years ago, we hit that and we said, you know, we have some baby Christians that they don't know some of the foundational things that we need to hit. So we did an anchor series where we did basically a mini systematic theology. We talked about the gospel of God, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of scripture. I mean, not the gospel, the doctrine of God, doctrine of scripture, doctrine of man. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was a big one.
Yep.
Because all the cultural issues wrap around the doctrine of man.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was so good. And people said, thank you so much for doing that. But that came out of this discussion of like, we've got some basic theological issues we need to tack down. What spiritual disciplines do we need to champion? You know, maybe it's prayer, maybe it's fasting, you know, maybe it's, we just did that with our staff, right? Just recently challenging them in that. So that's another one. What books of the Bible do we need to teach? Mm. We keep a log of what books of Bible we've covered. It was like, okay, man, we haven't hit Habakkuk, you know, let's go back. You know, we're going to tackle Jeremiah this summer. And, you know, I don't think I've ever taught a series on Jeremiah. You know, it's a long book. It's a big book. But, man, it was good to just identify that. Yep.
I think you need to – I'm going to advocate again for it, but the book of Jude, but eventually I like
eventually
it.
We'll get to Jude. I'm going to let you teach.
Maybe later. I love Jude. It's such a great book. It's completely relevant for our day and time. But
no,
anyway,
no doubt
I'm not going to get on a soapbox
here. All right, brother. All right, bro. So – What books, what concerns of the unchurched do we need to clarify? Mm. You know, what questions are unchurched people asking? Can we lean into that?
You know, one of the things when you're talking about this, I think it's also helpful for people to hear that even as we're going through these questions, sometimes as we're surfacing, these are things that you hit on even, and some of our teachers hit on in the midst of what they're specifically addressing. Mm-hmm. So like, hey, yeah. We may be teaching in a book because we felt like this book really needed to be addressed, but it's going to help us hit a cultural issue that came up from that meeting. So I don't want people to think that, hey, you know, it happens in a kind of in a real circle of, for lack of a better word, circle of life kind of thing, where just you can come back to those things as yeah. you also are teaching in the midst of some of these things that we've identified.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, Glenn, because some of these will shape series,
yep.
but some of these will just be filtered into the series yes. we're in.
Yeah.
Because they're helping us identify what kind of the pulse on the body.
Right.
And I think this is different than just, I'm going to preach XYZ pastor's sermon, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's preaching to a unique congregation and he's shepherding a different people than you are. And so this kind of helps you get a pulse of where your mm-hmm. people are right now. A couple of quick questions. We don't want to have to belabor this too much, but what concerns the unchurched? What aspect of the gospel do we need to emphasize? What vision do we need to cast? We have to get in front of our people and casting vision. So where does that happen? And then we always look at balance. Do we have enough balance of book to topical series? Do we have Old Testament and New Testament balance there? Are we teaching the whole counsel of God? You know, we look at what time of year should we preach. You know, there's certain times of the year that's good to dig into a book. And then there's some times of the year that people are gone or, you know, traveling or it's super busy and maybe there's another thing you need to tackle. So all of those things come into play
yeah.
in putting together a preaching menu for the year. And it's not super clean. Like I said, I just want to, you know, if you try this, just know it's kind of messy. You're going to have all these thoughts out there. But then what we do is we kind of get them all on a whiteboard or multiple whiteboards. Mm-hmm. And then in collaboration, we start saying, which are the ones that seem to pop out to all of us that we can all agree as we're praying, Holy Spirit, help mm-hmm. us. What do you want to say to your people? You know, we trust that he's going to be a part of that conversation. And we just start circling the ones that seem to
resonate.
Yeah, yeah. Resonate with all of us.
Yep.
And, you know, from someone who's sitting in a crowd listening, planning like this, the impact in my personal life, the value of this type of planning and this type of preaching is, number one, I feel seen, like this is actually relevant to my everyday life, but it also helps make the connection to something that maybe I just, that was just a word in a page or maybe a story I've always heard, but it's making the connection of God's word to my life and that it's relevant for my everyday life. And I think so many people that are just average people in church, just like me, that basically don't think that God's word is relevant for a random Tuesday, for the problems they're dealing with their kids. Mm. It is extremely relevant. It is an ancient book, but it is living and active,
yeah.
and it is relevant for every part of our life. And that's what I appreciate about planning like this, is you're making the connection as a leader. You're helping me see, hey, it is relevant. It's relevant in this specific way. This is how it ties. This is how it applies. And that is extremely helpful.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it'd be helpful, too, just to say this habit, this rhythm, maybe that's a better word to use, this rhythm takes work. It's like when you're teaching someone how to do a spiritual practice, right? They're not going to nail it the first time. I always tell guys when we're helping them develop a new spiritual habit or practice, hey, you got to work. It's like working out a new muscle.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the more you exercise that discipline, the easier it starts to become. And I think we've over the years fine-tuned this to where it's really it's really helpful and it's an amazing and it works, but don't quit just to do the first year because yeah. it will take a little bit of time. But yeah. as you keep working at it and keep adjusting and figuring out what fits best in your rhythms, because some of these questions you may just toss out but finding, you know, starting here and then kind of as a baseline and then working towards how do you get to this. Man, I can't encourage pastors out there enough. This will help you. I mean, truly, one of the greatest benefits to this is not only doing it with others, but the value add is it keeps you from having to every week go, what am I going to preach on
right.
this week?
Yeah,
every week's a new, and it puts it out in a good planning in a way, and then it allows you to lead well,
right,
and do other things that as a pastor shepherd you have to do,
right,
and then you because you get squeezed,
no doubt about it, yeah, and so the end goal here of these questions is identifying which of those that resonate, and then you decide which of these should be a sermon series.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're like, you know, we have all these issues going on, but almost all those are addressed in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
That's what happened 2 years ago when we said, we're just going to preach 1 Corinthians and we're going to call it issues because the church had issues
and
we got issues. So we're going to tackle these. And so it works. So some of these break off into topical series. Some of these break off into books of the Bible that are addressing these things. And so usually we'll have a good balance between that. And then we start scheduling them. Well, when is it good to do? What do we need to launch the year with in January? We got February, March, you know, April. You know what? That's a good slot for maybe a book study. But then you get May. May's crazy. You got Mother's Day. You got graduation. You got all this stuff going on. Memorial Day. So what are we going to do there? And then what about the summer? We got people coming. What do we land? So we just start putting them in places, and that just takes some work to kind of figure out. Okay, where would this book of the Bible or this topical series fit in the year. And our goal is to have just a piece of paper that has January through December. And here are we don't even title them yet. We just say family series here or 1 Corinthians here or Ephesians here or whatever. You know, we come out with one sheet of paper that says what we're going to do for the year and with the dates. And that's kind of creates what we call our preaching menu for the year.
Okay.
Now, let me just say, Ben, once we have it created, it often does change, you know, as we go.
Yeah, you're holding that with open hands.
Right. We're holding it loosely because we want the Spirit of God to help us in this process, but we also want to be free to be moved and guided, you know. And so, you know, just hold it loosely and, you know, you're just doing your best, right, to hear from God and to prepare a menu of feeding the flock, you know. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is part, you're just like you do a meal plan. You know, this is basically our meal plan, you know, for the year.
And you for the week.
And then we're open to the Spirit's leadership as we go.
Yeah. So that's 1 year. So 1 year out, you're planning that calendar, you're creating that menu, holding it loosely. And then, but what you said you kind of start there. Now what happens next? Where do you go from there?
Yeah. So 2 months before the start of a series, we will have a meeting, a creative meeting, and we'll say, okay, are we still good with the Jeremiah series? You know, this one's coming up. So that's what's on my mind. Yeah, we're still good with it. I feel great. I feel like that's what we need to talk about. All right, great. Then we have a discussion about what graphics do we want to use? What images do we want to use? What creative element, you know, how are we going to communicate this?
Yeah.
And like in that particular one, you know, we're going to call the series Declaration, because throughout the scripture, he says, declares the Lord, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. So we're going to call it Declaration. And every message is going to be one of those declarations. And so we call it Declaration. The underline was, God is speaking. Are you listening? And because that's what Jeremiah was speaking, God's word, but the people weren't listening. That was the problem. And so then we kind of come up with a graphic. We're going to use a bullhorn. We're going to use, you know, this type of thing. We just start thinking more creatively about how to communicate that. And then that allows our creative folks to go to work on that. And again, you don't have to have a big paid team. I remember when I didn't have any department like that, but I had a couple of people in my church that were really good.
Yep.
And I said, hey, you're good at that. Can you help me create something? And they loved it. That was the use of their gift. And so then, so that's 2 months out. And then somewhere about 6 weeks out, we sit down and we do what we call a grid out meeting. And a grid out basically is we list every Sunday on that series by date. And then we say, here's the passage we're going to teach in each one. And then we look at, okay, for that Sunday, is there anything special that we want to address? Is there anything musically that we want to do that's unique? Is there any common experience like communion or baptism or, you know, just whatever you're going to do in the church that you want to filter in there? And so we create a little grid where we actually kind of at a high level look at what are the elements that are going to go into that Sunday. And that way you can kind of look at the whole series and go, you know, is this, are we covering everything we need to cover? Yeah. And are we doing everything we need to do? And, or are we in a rut? We're always doing the same thing over and over and over. Maybe we need to change it up, mix it up. And so we come out of that about 6 weeks ahead with here's the grid for this whole series. And that really is kind of the playbook that we're going to run as we do that. And again, we're praying through it. We're asking the Lord to lead us. But if I'm starting 6 weeks to 2 months in advance of a series thinking about it, then that allows me to read devotionally through that book. You know, that's what I'm doing with Jeremiah right now. I'm reading devotionally through it, just letting God speak to me. I'm not doing sermon prep.
Yeah.
Just what's God saying to me about it? Because that allows me to then preach it kind of out of the overflow mm-hmm. of what God's saying to me. Or I may be getting some resources or starting to listen to other people or, you know, whatever. I'm starting to kind of get my mind thinking about it without having to preach it right away. And so that gives me some lead time and preparation instead of, oh my gosh, I got to start that next Sunday, you know? And so I'm kind of rushing into it. It gives me some lead time.
Yeah. Many times I think I hear pastors say, you know, well, or maybe kick back or push back at planning like this and being very, I know it a little formalized, a little structured, that, you know, that you're not involving the Holy Spirit, that you're not allowing that to speak when you do that. You're just kind of taking all that away. How's God? But honestly, it does the opposite of that. It's giving you time to allow for that versus if you were doing it last minute and scrambling, where's the Spirit's involvement in that? How is the Spirit right. speaking if it's always last minute, always rushed? You're giving this planning is giving you actually is giving you that time to for allow to God to speak, for Him to get you where He needs you to deliver that. So I really like that, but I like that approach because I do think some people are, they may push back at this type of approach mm-hmm. because it may feel a little too polished or too, you know, whatever, but I really like that point.
Well, I've been on both sides of that. I've been in the rush mode, you know, and I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the rush mode because I feel like I've got to get something out for Sunday because it's coming.
Yeah. I was going to say it. It's the tyranny of the urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And when you live in the tyranny of the urgent, I think you can miss
mm-hmm.
The beauty and the wonder of the presence of God in your life because you're just rushing from one thing to the next. And I think this has proven to be a way to just slow down. It doesn't sound slow, but it's slowing down. And I think there's something to message prep, slowing down to be fully present with God so that you can truly speak from the overflow of what God's speaking to you about as the shepherd of the under shepherd of the church.
Absolutely. And I think this is a great benefit. There are some pastors that I've talked to that they, once they kind of know what the series is, sometimes they'll go on a retreat and they'll outline all the sermons at a retreat, like over a day or two. They'll outline, they'll just a general outline of every one of them. I don't do that, but I know some guys that do it and they love it. They love mm-hmm. that. So I think you can kind of, you know, do how you like to do, but at least at the 2 month out, you're kind of gridding out what the sermons are going to be, the text, and the elements of that service that you want to filter in there with creativity and how the Lord's leading you, and so, you start praying about it.
So that's that. We got 1 year out. You're creating the preaching menu. Next, you're coming into a 2 month and that 6 week kind of grid out, mm-hmm. getting a plan. You're starting to embrace in that, and we're going to have two more pieces. But I want to take a real quick break. And then we'll get into this last half of really just what do you do the week of, and then how do you circle back after that. So let's take a quick break.
Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching. that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points, also a roadmap for sustained health, and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching.
All right. Well, we're back. We're right in the middle of really listening to a great conversation with Pastor Craig and Glenn about sermon planning and how really, if you're prepared, really what I've taken away from the first part of this conversation is if you're preparing as a pastor, if you're getting out in front of this and involving other people in the planning, it can be really, it's way more impactful for your people because it's relatable to them. It's hitting them with what they're dealing with. But also it's getting you where you're in a position where you're no longer scrambling, and it gives you time to slow down. That was, Glenn said that it's like, it actually, being prepared helps you slow down, hear from God, let him speak, allow him to speak to you personally from the text. And so we've covered those first two pieces of this sermon planning kind of plan or, you know, format, but really, so take us into 1 week. What happens? All right, now here it is. We're ready to preach. It's Monday. Sunday yeah. came and went, and another one's coming back around. What happens in a week out?
Yeah. So I write my sermon the week that I'm going to deliver it, and I know some guys like to write them earlier, but like to be 2 weeks or a month out. I never was able to master that. If you can do that, that's awesome. But I just never been able to do that. And honestly, I like you know, when my wife cooks an awesome meal. I don't want her to cook a great meal and stick it in the freezer and then we'll thaw it out. I want to eat it right off the stove. You know, I want to eat it when it's hot. And so that's kind of what I do with the message. I feel like, you know, if I've been marinating on this all week long, then I'm ready to deliver it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's fresh to me. It's fresh to them. And so, so the week of, generally what I'll do, and this is just my rhythm, I'll take 3 or 4 hours on Monday, usually Monday morning. And I'm praying over it. I already know what my text is. I've already been kind of marinating in it a little bit, so I'm not starting off. And I'll, you know, just briefly outline it. I'll start doing my, you know, exegetical work, preparing this message. Then usually I don't do a lot on Tuesday because I have lots of meetings on Tuesday. So I'm usually loaded up on leadership meetings on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday morning, I meet with another guy and we collaborate on it. We talk about it. We just kind of go over, hey, what issues do we need to tackle? How would we address that? What words do I need to use? Kind of shaping it out. What illustrations could be done? I know one pastor that he brings a whole group of his staff and they do a whole kind of table talk discussion about it, and they populate, you know, just ideas, illustrations, applications, implications of that passage. And so that kind of fuels him with a lot of content then, not just going to the old Matthew Henry commentary. Nothing wrong with Matthew Henry, right? But he can only give you so much. And then I try on Thursday is my day to write. And I go in the hole, so to speak. I go in, I go dark, I'm not coming out till it's done. And on Thursday, I try to make that a day of fasting and prayer where I spend that whole day in that that mode. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm writing it, I'm personally, you know, in a mindset, I'm not trying to get this thing banged out, you know, with the TV going on and, you know, the kids running through the, you know, whatever. I've got to be somewhere where I can be alone with God. I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm seeking God as I'm writing this message. And a lot of times I'll write a point and then I'll just stop and pray about that. You know, I'll write something or I'll say, Lord, help me. I'm stuck right here, you know, and it's an interactive moment with the Lord as we're writing this. And then I try to have that knocked out by 3 o'clock. You know, and getting the stuff to our tech team that they need to have it, everything by 3. And then that allows me on Friday and Saturday, I'm not rushed on, again, back to Glenn, I'm not rushed. I'm not panicked. I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, every once in a while, you know, we're training somewhere, that rhythm is thrown off, but at least I know in advance, I can adjust my schedule a little bit. It allows it to just kind of rest in my heart on Friday and Saturday and be ready to preach it on Sunday.
Well, yeah, and you need to rest. Y'all run 3 services here. You're preaching that sermon 3 times in a very short window. So you don't need to be like just coming out, your tired, weary week and things like that. So allowing that, again, being prepared actually gives you time to slow down at the end, doing it at the front of your week, or, you know, being ahead of the game helps you actually rest so that you can actually deliver that.
Yep. You know, it's crazy, is one of the rhythms I have even in this whole deal is because I like to, I kind of follow the same pattern, but Friday for me has become like Friday morning has become the time where I will actually work through it a few times. And I do it at least three times. So before I even stand up in the pulpit on Sunday to preach three times, I've already done it at least three times.
Yeah.
So it's six times.
Right.
But, you know, it is. It's and that there is work. There is the work of it. And but I think, you know, when I can stay on that pattern, I feel so much more prepared to, because it's not about being prepared so I can look good. It's so that, man, one, I can make much of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that his word is communicated with accuracy, relevancy, and excellence, but that people can have an opportunity to hear from God at a very personal level.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, I don't feel panicked. I don't have this sense of, oh, I can be fully present with my family.
Yeah.
On Friday afternoon and on Saturday, I'm not. And then I usually get in. When I'm preaching, I'm usually here fairly early. I'm here because we have to be at certain times on our platform. But I'll try to even get here an hour or two before, just to spend time praying and getting ready and more preparation of my heart, personal heart.
Yeah. I think that day of, you know, my personal rhythm. I'm at the church. I'm one of the first ones here, and I'm looking over my message again, and then I meet with a group of men and we pray for about 45 minutes together. And so when I hit the platform, I mean, I'm prayed up. I've been with people in community. I've been praying. I've been prepared. I'm not rushed. I'm not panicked about it. And then when I walk on that platform, I'm praying the whole time, Holy Spirit, help me. Yeah. Holy Spirit, speak through me, you know. And I often pray, Lord, don't help me just for my sake. These are your people. Yeah. They need to hear from you. And so speak through me to them. You know, I'm interceding for them at that moment. And so there are some questions that we talked about, questions on developing a sermon, a preaching menu, but there are some questions to ask for every sermon. I just want to pitch these out here. Ben, this is not original with me. This is another pastor that shared this with me, but I often use these too. When I'm writing a sermon, I ask, what is the main idea of the passage? That's really important. Why is this in the Bible? What is the relevance of this in my life? What questions arise when I read it? What are the keys to unlocking this passage? You know, what are the main ideas here? How does this passage magnify God and help you behold his glory? You know, where's the glory of God in this passage? What is this passage? How does this passage relate to the gospel? You know, how do I understand the gospel through this passage? And then lastly, what are the individual and corporate applications? You know, how do we put this passage to work? Those are just some great thoughtful questions when you're writing, to kind of maybe a little checklist, you know, for you to consider as you're writing the message. I manuscript every message out. Now, I know I don't preach from a manuscript, but I manuscript it out. That helps me because it allows me to know, I can actually tell you how many words equals how much time.
Yeah.
And so I can tell if I preach 3,000 words, if it's 3,000 words on the page, that's 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so it allows me to control the time, but it also allows me to have it in writing. And then I can repurpose that in an article, in a in a podcast, in a blog, and, you know, because I've done a lot of work. You know, I don't want to just, if I just scratch a few notes on a napkin, you know, then I can't recall that.
Yeah.
And so we put that on our app, our church app, and so people can actually read it. They can go back to it and resource it. I have people that say, I go back all the time and read through all the content that's there. So I think it gives it more life, you know, if you can manuscript it out. And then the last thing is, we talked about evaluation, and that is just after a series is over, we pull that our team together again, and we just say, you know, how did we do? You know, what went well? What was good? What was bad? Maybe we something didn't fly up very good, you know, right? What was missing? What was confusing? We always ask those four questions: good, bad, missing, and confusing. And then we just have a good open discussion about how could we, What can we learn from this to get better at it next time?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a health, having which that's the culture in everything that you and your team do here, is this culture of evaluation, how can we always get better. And so I think it fits great right in with even with the sermon. That's a great way to do that, so that you can constantly kind of, before maybe something, okay, we're missing the mark, our people are not relating to this, you can address it in the moment. And I think that's super helpful. And this whole, again, the whole planning, I do want to just re-communicate, this is allowing freedom for the Holy Spirit to move. So my son yesterday, his birthday was yesterday, a big one, 18 years old. So that must mean crazy. His mom's getting old or something. I don't know.
Something.
Somebody is.
Somebody's getting older.
I hope Carrie's not listening to this.
So she knows not to listen to anything I say. And so one thing that I'm just, before he leaves, before he goes to college, is discipline equals freedom. Think about an athlete. When you've practiced well and you've trained well and you've prepared, you can just go on the field and play. Same thing in life, same thing with work. If you are prepared, then it allows you to be free, not hindered. And so I think, again, this is a spiritual work. That's what I've heard all the way through this with you. Your preparation is not trusting in yourself.
Right.
It's actually the opposite. It's allowing that space for you to trust in the Spirit, for the Spirit to speak, for the Spirit to work. And that preparedness is actually giving you freedom and Him freedom in the moment. And you're getting out of the way, in my mind, by being prepared.
Right.
Yeah, a guy that invested heavily in my life, you remember this line he used to always say, an undisciplined life is a wasted life, and a wasted life is a disobedient life. Mm-hmm. And he said discipline carries across every aspect of our life, in places of work, places of personal, I mean, your spiritual life, I mean, every piece, of every fiber, yeah. And just the important. I love this because it's a disciplined approach, but in that disciplined approach, it does bring tremendous freedom.
Yeah. So great.
We do see the Spirit of God moving in really incredible ways. And it's so, once you go through this, you know, it's not about you. I know I'm not that great a preacher, right? But I see God moving and God working, and I just glorify God in it. You know, I don't ever come away going, man, we really, you know, made that happen. Never. It's always, thank you, Jesus, for answering our prayers and guiding us and leading us through this. And we see our people nourished. I will also say, we do on-campus groups as well, and those groups are, for the most part, Glenn, going through a book of the Bible.
Right.
And that allows me freedom then to explore some of these other topics as well, because their spiritual growth is not completely relying on my one 30-minute sermon.
Yeah, right.
That they, sure, they have Bible study that they're involved with, that's teaching them books of the Bible too. So it allows me the freedom. You know, if we didn't have that, or if your groups are sermon-based discussion, that's putting all the weight on that one sermon for your spiritual growth, you know. And so I like the fact that our groups are studying other books of the Bible also, that can give them the maturity and grounding of understanding biblical literacy, and then I can speak directly to shepherd. I can shepherd the congregation in those moments.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and great. One of the things, I'm just going to bring that up because, yes, we are pretty big proponents of that in our group ministry, but the interesting thing, one of the great values of having our group's pastor in those sermon prep meetings is a lot of how he thread, how the books are chosen and the things that are in the conversational pieces are, there's a lot of strategy in all of that. That he spends an enormous amount of time making sure that there's, a connecting point to what you've been teaching on. And there's and people come away all the time going, boy, that was really close to, I mean, there was a lot of commonality. I see a lot of the convergence of that. And there's a lot. I mean, that's not by accident. There's intentionality behind that, for sure.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
Well, Craig, Glenn, thank you for today. Number one, thank you guys for what you do in the pulpit. You know, preaching God's word is important. It really is. And it's, again, it is becoming rarer and rarer people that are actually expositing God's word well. So I appreciate the effort and the time that you and your teams put into doing that. Thank you for giving us kind of a format. I hope it's helpful to you that's listening, that you could take away a few of these questions and apply it to where you are, apply it to how your team works and the rhythms of your church, because everywhere is different. But we hope this guide and this format is helpful for you. And again, if you can find that in the show notes, you can find a place to download that and take it home, think about it, look over it, and apply it to your ministry. But Craig, thank you for being on. Glenn, thank you. Yep. It's always fun being around. And thank you again for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.